In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So, your priest this evening has zero Christmas spirit. None. I did some research to find out what that even meant. Last several days, there are quizzes all over the internet to find out how much Christmas spirit you've got. You know, have you picked out presents? Have you wrapped them? Are they under the tree? Is the tree up? Is it lit? You know, how much is your decorations on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, and all of that, obviously, since we're here in church on Christmas Eve, we realize there's something a little bit more than have you wrapped your presents yet. And of course, that all has to do with whether it's December or June. So that's kind of out. That's really not what it's about. But I found one of those questions that sort of made my brain start working. And one of the questions was, does remembering the birth of Jesus make you remember and care for those who are poor and less fortunate? Okay, now that's worth thinking about. It's certainly not wrong. Generosity, charity, beautiful things, no question. But is really what we celebrate on Christmas Day as a matter of our faith, does it really center around what the birth of Jesus makes us remember otherwise? Because if it just makes us remember to be charitable and kind and generous, I don't really need Jesus. Because charity, generosity, and kindness are concepts that the philosopher, the great philosophers and ethicists of all cultures have said were good things. I don't need Jesus to tell me about that. So I was thinking about this thing that anchors everything. If it's just about being kind and good, do I really need Jesus as the anchor? Do I need him as the pivot point? I was thinking about geometry class in school. Does anybody remember using a compass to draw a circle? Okay? Does anybody remember the point of that compass jumping around while you were trying to draw a circle? It was a beautiful circle you ended up with, I'm sure. That center point has to be there, or you don't get a circle. So if the highest aspirations of the human mind and the best things we go after, again, loyalty, honesty, justice, charity, all these things, they're good. But all of the philosophers of all over the world have come up with these ideas that these are the things we ought to be pursuing. These are the highest ideals. And we're taught about them in one way or another. We hear about them, stories, heroes, in culture, in many different angles. But they don't require Jesus at the middle of them. So I thought, if really just Jesus' birth reminding us to be nice people to those who are less fortunate, then any story about a kind person could have done it. We don't really need Jesus. So I thought that question, is Christmas about the birth of Jesus reminding you to be charitable? Is that what Christmas is about? And I had to answer no. We have to celebrate, remember, tell the story. Not about the effects it has, because it's like that compass with the point. There's one thing that the human race, that the human mind, that the human soul needs, and it's not generosity, it's not kindness, it's not honor, it's not loyalty or valor. It's salvation. I can drum up loyalty in my heart. I can drum up charity in my heart. I can grit my teeth and do my duty against all odds, but there is no way I can save myself from anything. I need somebody else to do that. I need God to act. It would be like trying to draw the circle, not only with the point skipping around on the paper of your compass, but you pulling it out of the little case and the point being gone altogether. If your compass only has a pencil on it, you're out of luck. We don't remember and celebrate during Christmas season. And I know everybody loves a Christmas carol, and I love Ebenezer Scrooge until he goes soft at the end, you know? He exhibits Christmas spirit. He was generous and kind. But all the great thinkers and leaders of the world have always said we should be generous and kind. That's not essentially what Jesus is about. The birth of Jesus is essentially about God sending the Son, the second person of the Trinity, to be born of Mary, wrapped in and you may not know this, swaddling clothes are what you wrapped a mummy in. He was wrapped in burial cloth, in a food basket. That doesn't mean anything for communion coming up at all, does it? Not a thing. Yes, Jesus was a good man, and he was kind and forgiving and generous and all the things that are our highest human aspirations, he certainly agreed with. But we don't celebrate those things tonight. We have to celebrate the fact that God put the point of the compass right in the middle of history and anchored it in flesh, anchored it in our story. Made it possible for a story, the salvation story, to actually happen rather than just be an inspiring, nice idea. If God just dropped a nice idea into history, whose shoulders is it on to make it happen? Yours. Good luck saving yourself from your own failures. Good luck forgiving your own sins. If it's just a bumper sticker, if the birth of Jesus is just a slogan, if God did not actually act in human history to place himself with us on this planet, in Bethlehem, during a census, with the name Savior, then salvation is beyond our reach. Being good people might not be beyond our reach, but being saved from our sins is beyond our reach. We don't celebrate the ideas of Jesus tonight. We don't celebrate the effects of Jesus tonight. We celebrate the fact that Jesus was born, that God anchored himself in our history, and that I don't have to come up with my own salvation, and you don't have to come up with your salvation. Salvation was given. It's yours. That's why we shout, "Go tell it on the mountain," because he's been born. In just a few weeks, we'll read the gospel on Sunday morning, where Simeon, the old prophet, and he says, the story says, and God told him he would not die until he saw God's salvation. So Simeon's in the temple all day, every day, praying. And on the 40th day after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph bring him in to offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving for the birth of a child. And across the temple courtyard, this crazy, hairy old man shows up. I could just see Mary's eyes just going, "Joseph, get him away from me. Get him away from me." Simeon takes the child in his hands, in his arms, and says, "God, you can let me die now. I have seen salvation." Now, he didn't hear Jesus preach once. He didn't see Jesus open the eyes of a blind man. make a lame man walk. He didn't see Jesus forgive the adulterous woman. He didn't see Jesus on the cross. He didn't see Jesus raised from the dead. He said the Messiah's been born. It's all done. He's been born. It happened. The Christmas spirit, I'm not worried about whether I have Christmas spirit or not. I haven't gotten one Christmas party invitation this year, and that's okay with me, because my Christmas party will be in about an hour and a half when I get back to the house and pour myself some scotch, and I'll sit there and I'll sip on it, and then I'm going to fall asleep. That's my Christmas party. Probably do it again tomorrow afternoon, too. But the Savior's born. The Savior's here. God anchored history around him. Yeah, he's got more work to do in the world. We've got more work to do in the world. That circle around that compass point hasn't fully been drawn yet. But it's been put in its place. And the work is being done. Like Simeon, most of us will probably come to the end of our life without seeing the final salvation of God. And yet we should be able to say, God, I've seen your salvation. He was born. Now we get a little more than Simeon because we've heard the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection and we know how it happened. Simeon didn't know that. But it happened. And that's the celebration. And that's what we celebrate. That's what we cheer. That's what we praise. That's what we sing tonight. Amen.